Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Maria Garcia.
Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for carry me home.
That's Roland Hayes singing the African-American church spiritual Swing Low. He was once as well-known as classical music greats like Enrico Caruso or Arturo Toscanini. Hayes was born after the Civil War to a mother who had been enslaved on a Georgia plantation. He had a fifth-grade education, but he went on to play to packed houses on both sides of the Atlantic, with opera lovers and European royals clamoring to hear him sing. By the late 1920s, Hayes had become one of the highest-paid tenors in the world. He was also the first African-American to sing for the Boston Symphony Orchestra. And he was the first black concert singer in the world to record his music and combine spirituals with European opera. Roland Hayes' story is told in the play Breath and Imagination, which is playing at the Lyric Theater. It's produced by the Front Porch Arts Collective and Lyric Stage Company. We invited Davron Monroe, who plays Roland Hayes in the production, along with Maurice Emmanuel Parent, the director of Breath and Imagination and co-founder of the Front Porch Arts Collective, in our studio. Maurice, I want to start by asking you, what is this story really about?
So this is the story of a black man who found success in an art form that was made without him in mind. You know, opera was not made with the idea that people of color would be singing it. So he not only was able to succeed, but excel in this art form, and he ultimately found his success by not denying his roots in the church and not denying his black sound that he developed in spiritualism with his mom and through gospel, but using that to as a way to access this art form using a decidedly black sound.
Davron, you were classically trained in opera, so this style of singing, you know, wasn't new to you. And I want to ask you, what was it like to sort of revisit this art form that you're so familiar with one of the icons of the art form in mind?
Very exciting to jump into this, because it's very exciting to incorporate the spiritual aspect or the spiritual songs with the classical art form. And very much like Roland, that is a very important part of my life also. And just combining those two, the Eurocentric classical / opera studies with my ethnic and heritage roots, and just combining those two, it makes it very exhilarating to present that type of story.
But that sort of fusion, you know, also really came with some hardship for Roland. You know, this show is also so deeply about that journey of learning how to celebrate the difference in voice, right? So in the beginning, we see that Roland Hayes is sort of striving for uniformity with his voice, right? That he kind of mourns sounding different. You know, he says at one point, "My sound is as dark as my skin." Did that journey from sort of seeking uniformity to then accepting one's identity resonate with you, Maurice?
Absolutely. I want to add into something that Davron brought up. Roland Hayes would always include spirituals in his concerts because he says spirituals are the classic music of black folks. So as we're looking at these Eurocentric art forms, it's not that people of color were not making art at this time or not around, it's that we're not included in those narratives. You know, the term of "my sound is as dark as my skin" started off as a criticism, a self kind of deprecating criticism of his own artistry, and it became a rallying cry for his mother and a point of encouragement and something to be proud of, and said, that's what makes you unique.
You know, there's also a scene after Roland Hayes performs where a white man says, the color of Roland's voice is so unique, and sort of he goes on and on trying to compliment Mr. Hayes, but it's also a really deeply uncomfortable moment. You know, he sort of refers to him as fascinating, and it's something that's kind of recognizable that white audiences sometimes still do, and often it's well-meaning and sometimes fetishizing. So, Maurice, do you think that a scene like that is designed to confront the audience watching Breath and Imagination?
I absolutely do. I love that question. Yeah, you know, words matter, you know, and context matters. So as much as we're saying that we're bringing our Black and brown bodies to the table, we are bringing all of the culture around that, all the expectations and all the history around being a person of color in America to the table. So then you have to just be aware of the words you're saying.
Well, I want to play tape from one moment in particular that really struck me, where Roland tells his mother, Mo, that he's had enough. He wants to give up singing and teach music. And she reminds him that she was born enslaved, as were her father and grandfather, I'm sorry, who were brutally beaten. And she tells him to move forward without fear. Let's hear that.
We have always had to dance with a gun at our feet. We have always had to sing with ropes around our necks. Still, we dance. We sing. You carry the pain and promise of your people in your throat. It is who you are. It does not go away. Don't look for it to go away.
This to me was kind of the emotional heart of the play. Tell me what that scene does for you, Davron.
At this point, Roland is thinking about giving up. And for me, a lot of us have been in that position where we want to stop doing what we're doing because it's gotten difficult. But his mother is basically, you know, giving him this hard lesson, saying, you know, I went through slavery, son, and you're complaining about someone just saying Negro to you. And she was like, things have been more difficult than that for some of us. You can't just give up because of that. You have a gift and a desire that's in you, that is burning in you, and you have to press forward with that. Mm-hmm. And while you're pressing forward, you're carrying other people along with you. Mm-hmm. You're paving the way for other people's dreams to come forward too. So we cannot give up when things get difficult. Mm-hmm. We cannot stop when, you know, something adverse comes against us. That's all the more reason to press forward and press harder to reach the goals that you want to go for.
Mm-hmm. And it's a form of protest. Like, existing as Black folks in these spaces is, I love right after that scene, for me, no pressure to Yewande, who's acting, but the first day of rehearsal, I said, to me, that is the heart, exactly as you put it, indeed, Maria, the heart of the play. Mm-hmm. I think that is that's the reason, that's what jumped out of me in the page when we were reading it. Mm-hmm. I was like, that is why we are doing what we're doing at the front porch. That's what POC artists have to kind of take ownership of, the fact that we are standing on the shoulders of giants and then existing in these spaces and making art that expresses our voices is a form of protest, and you have to embrace that.
I have one more question for you, but I do want to listen to the song that comes right after that scene. And Davron, I understand this is your favorite song.
It is.
Of the piece. So let's listen to it.
Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Sometimes I
Chevron, that was your voice.
Mm.
Wow. Ooh, need a moment to breathe,
yes,
after that.
Mm-hmm.
Need to process that.
Indeed.
So beautiful. One more question for you all. To me, this play was also, in a way, about a homecoming. You know, there are these recurring scenes where we see Roland Hayes, after his success, going back to Georgia with the hopes of creating an integrated music school at the plantation where his mother was enslaved. And here's, you know, again, this world-renowned artist who has played in Buckingham Palace and is welcomed throughout Europe back in the American South. And his wife and daughter are arrested for sitting in the whites-only section of a shoe store. All three of them are beaten. And this scene sort of illustrates for us that no matter how much he has ascended, he's still a black man in America.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like to bring that to the stage?
Mm. Well, the interesting thing about that is, as we walk every day and as we reflect on things, a lot of time has passed, but not a lot of things have changed.
Mm.
And what I'm hoping that audiences gain from this story is that we need to foster better change for people of color. And we need to foster the ability to embrace people for their differences, the ability to not allow our differences to get in the way of our forward momentum and our successes. I applaud Roland Hayes for not giving up, because he has taught a lot of us that through your drive and through your passion, success is available to you.
Mm.
In spite of the things that you may have gone through. So, you know, hopefully we can get rid of the "in spite of" as we continue to walk through today's society. We can get rid of that and allow people to be successful regardless of the color of their skin or regardless of their background.
Mm-hmm. Again, no pressure to this actor, but I told him, to me, that's the most important song of the whole piece. It's where he's embracing both his classical training and his sound from his family, from his heritage that he found in the church. And throughout the rehearsal process, we talked about how this is a play set in a specific time, but it has so many themes with things that are going on in our society today. And to Roland Hayes' actual quote that spirituals are the classical music of black people, I don't see how you can hear him saying, "Were you there," in the context of this play, and not think about a good guy with a gun who's black being shot instead of, because I can't really, I always trip over, I get a little emotional when I start talking about this, but it's, you know, what happens when a good guy with a gun is black? What happens to him? You know, when he sings, "Lord, how come we here?" We think about how can a white man go into a black church and be taken alive, but Eric Garner's killed, you know, for selling in front of a 7-Eleven. You know, so it's, why are things classical? Because they have ramifications throughout history. Why do we still do Shakespeare? Because it says it speaks to humanity in a certain way that is still applicable today. And then these spirituals, when you think about the context when they were written and when they were sung, I want to go out on the street and start singing "Were You There" to everyone walking by.
Yeah.
Mm. How's it an accusation? Where were you when you saw that news report? So I think that that's what, in the rehearsal process, we talked about making it clear in our minds, because I think if it's clear in your mind and clear in the way you're playing moments, it'll be clear to the audience how it's modern, but we don't have to beat anyone over the head with it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. That's Maurice Emmanuel Parent, co-founder and executive director of the Front Porch Arts Collective and the director of Breath and Imagination, The Story of Roland Hayes, and Davrin Monroe, a stage actor who plays Roland Hayes. You can find a link to buy tickets to Breath and Imagination on our website, radioboston.org. Davrin and Maurice, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Maria Garcia. This is Radio Boston.
Come in by and through the lamb. One day as I was walking along the heavenly road, my my Savior spoke unto me, and it filled my heart.